Parshas Ki Siso, Bruchim Aboyim, everybody. We'd like to look at Ezras Hashem, as you'd expect. We're going to look a little bit at the Parsha of the Eagle Hazov, which of course takes center stage in this week's Parsha. And we're going to, tonight, Ezras Hashem, be looking at the most beautiful Mahalchim as presented by the Shemi Shmuel. Shemi Shmuel was, of course, the Sofer Shavar Rebbe, the son of the Avnei Nezer, a grandson of the Kotzker Rebbe. So, as you'd expect, a lot of his Torah has a Hasidic influence and sometimes a Kabbalistic influence. So I'd like to share with you what I saw in his writings in several places, in Parshas Kisiso, Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Pekudei, Parshas Tzav, and Parshas Shmini, and we will try and collate them and see the Ezras Hashem, a beautiful picture emerge. The Shemi Shmuel is bothered by a seemingly very difficult pasuk in this week's parasha. After Klal Yisrael have served the Egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu descends from Sinai, Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, says the Torah in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aharon, Ma osa lecha omazeh? What has this nation done to you? How did this come about, the terrible events of the Chet HaEgel? Aaron HaKohen responds in the following manner. He says, Va'oimar Elohem. He said, I said to Klal Yisrael, Lemi Zohov, whoever has gold, his sparku, should remove it, the Yitnu Li, and they should give it to me. Va'ashlichehu Bo'esh, and I cast it into the fire, all of their gold which they had donated to the cause. Vayetze ha'egel hazeh, and the egel just emerged from the fire. Now this pasuk needs obvious explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a very poignant question. How did this come about? In other words, Aaron HaKohen, how do you justify your involvement in this horrific episode of the Chet HaEgel? So how exactly did Aaron HaKohen answer the question? All he did was just recount events. I told them, whoever's got gold should bring it to me. They did. I threw it into the fire, and the eagle emerged. We all know that's what happened. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron HaKohen, how did this come about? Surely he didn't mean what was the chain of events. He meant, why did this happen? So merely to answer, I asked them all for gold, we threw it into the fire, and the next thing you know, an eagle emerges. How does that answer the question? How was Aaron HaKohen, as it were, excusing himself? So the Shemi Shmuel presents two Mahalchim, as I mentioned. These are all over his Sforim. And the first Mahalach is actually not to be found in this week's Parasha at all, but rather, if anybody wants to look it up, it's in the Parashas HaChodesh, in the writing of the Shemi Shmuel, Parashas HaChodesh Tof Reish Ayin, which means it was written exactly 111 years ago. Says the Shemi Shmuel a tremendous chiddush. And he says, as is well known, we cannot possibly understand or misunderstand by saying that Klal Yisrael, when they served the Egel, they simply rejected everything that had been makabel at Har Sinai. This is, of course, inexplicable. That cannot be. As many of the Mepharshim are indeed very bothered, how indeed do we try and explain some way the Chet HaEgel? Remember, they are just weeks after Matan Torah, not so long after Yetzias Mitzrayim, to merely suggest that they rejected it all, and they were turning round to the Ribbono Shel Olam and saying, we want to be Peirei Kol, we want to remove the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs and our accept on ourselves as it were a different force is impossible to suggest and cannot be true. So the Shem and Shmuel, without so much as explaining what their true kavanas were, but he says we can be rest assured that essentially they have kavanas l'shem shamayim, at least in part, which is a common theme, almost universal, across the board in all of the Meforshei HaTorah. It is absurd, as we said, to suggest that they were just rejecting and giving up Torah or mitzvahs, and they only had an agenda of Avodah Zarah at heart. All of them are flourishing, each one with their nusach and with their approach, but everybody seems to be in agreement that clearly, above all, Klal Yisrael have kavonos l'shem shamayim, whether it be because they wanted some intermediary between them and the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether it be because they wanted to have a more tangible connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever it may be, it was not a simple rejection of their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Having said that, with all the good intention in mind, but clearly it was a chet, and a very severe chet at that. Because together with their kavonos l'shem shamayim, but clearly mixed in there were also kavonos which were not l'shem shamayim. And that therefore ensured that the Egel was not a mitzvah at all. In fact, it was a chet of epic proportions. So what we have over here, therefore, is a ta'aroides. There is a mixture of pure and impure intentions on the part of Klal Yisrael, and it is that amalgamation of kavonos tahoros, ve'inon tahoros, that brought about the Egel. End the Shem Yishmuel. Look at Parashas Korach. Parashas Korach, as we know, 250 of Korach's followers all attempted to be makdir the Ketores. An Esh emerges from heaven and consumes them all. And the Torah there says the following. The Torah in Parashas Korach says, take their machatos, each one came with a pan in which they were makdir the ketores. Take these machatos and make for them a covering for the mizbeach. And Rashi explains that they have kedusha in these frying pans. These machatos have kedusha in them, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed that they should not merely be discarded, to the contrary, they should be used for the highest purpose, and that is as a covering for the Mizbeach. And of course, this needs obvious explanation. What on earth was the Kedusha in these Machatos? We would have thought the exact opposite. This was the instrument that was used to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu and ultimately against the Ribbono Shel Olam. How on earth can they be considered Kodesh? Says the Shem Yishmuel, a tremendous chiddush. There too, in Parashas Korach, notwithstanding the fact that it was definitely considered an unjustifiable rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Torah, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there too, there was also, in part, a kavona l'shem shomayim. The fact that they wanted to be makdir ketores in the Beis HaMikdash, as unjustified as that may be, but ultimately that emanated from a deep felt yearning to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's true, it was done in a non-permissible manner, and that's why they had to die. But you cannot ignore the fact that within that Aveira, there was also a machshava l'toiva, and that was a quest to become closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And says the Shem Yishmuel, a machshava toiva never ever goes to waste. It will not justify an aveira, make no mistake about it, but it will not go to waste. And if it doesn't go to waste, if the machshava tova can only be cleansed physically, metaphorically, or spiritually, if it can be cleansed of the machshava eina tova, then what are you left with? Pure, unadulterated kavana l'shem shomayim. Similar in a way that we are all accustomed to, when you kasher a kli, your pot becomes treif. You don't have to discard it. If you know how to be machshir it with eish and other manners, you remove the problematic blios within, and then you are left with a pure kli. Says the Shem Yishmuel, when the eish came down from heaven, undoubtedly this was a spiritual eish, what that did was, not only did it burn and kill those involved in this aveira, but more so, it cleansed the machatos. The machatos, as it were, became kashas. And any element of aveira within those machatos has now, as it were, been kashered by this heavenly fire. Such that, what were you left with? What you were left was with the machatos, merely with the machshava toiva. Any machshava psula has been removed, and it had to be removed in the most severe manner. But having been removed, you are now left with a pure, unadulterated machshava l'toiva, which is a dovar kodosh. And that's why it went in the Beis HaMikdash, no less. Says the Shem Yishmuel, exactly the same was true in the ego. The ego was undoubtedly an aveira of the highest order, we make no mistake about that. And any kavana l'shem shomayim can never be considered a justification for what happened. Nonetheless, there was within the ego a kavana l'shem shomayim. There was a kavana l'shem shomayim, as we mentioned, whether it be to become closer to Hashem, to have an intermediary between them and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, whatever it may be, but there was a kavana l'shem shomayim. Therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, that's why when Aaron HaKohen received this Eish, he threw it into the fire. And even though it's true, the Eir of Rav messed in here, they interfered, and they ensured that it would end up horribly, and indeed, an eagle emerged. But nonetheless, Aaron HaKohen's intention was the other way around. Aaron HaKohen's intention was, by putting the Zohar in the fire, this was equatable to the machatos of Korach that had also been purified spiritually with the Korach of Esh. Such that, says the Shem Shmuel, an incredible statement, without the interference of the Eir of Rav, do you know what would have happened to this gold? Having been through the fire, says the Shem Yishmuel, it would have been also rolled for the Beit HaMikdash, no less. An incredible thing to say. What eventually emerged as the Egel Azov, a catastrophic episode of Avodah Zarah, could have ended very differently with an extra adornment to the Beit HaMikdash. But that was the kavana of Aaron HaKohen. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, we have answered our question. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked, what happened over here? He didn't mean to say, what was the story? What he meant was, how could this possibly be justified? Aaron HaKohen answers, I threw it into the fire. It's true, we all know that. But why indeed did you throw it into the fire? The Shem Yishmuel has answered the question. Why indeed did he throw the Zohar into the fire? In order to purify it. It was a taroidus. It was like a kli that had become treif, that needs to be kashered. In this Zohar, therein there lies not only a machshava for avodah zarah, but ultimately also a machshava for kirvas elokim, and that cannot be ignored and never goes to waste. So Aaron Achayim's intention, in the opinion of the Shemesh Shmuel, was to purify, was to kasher that gold, and that's why he threw it into the fire. Unfortunately, as he concludes there, the Eruv Rav interfered, and with their koyach or kishuf, which they had brought with them from Mitzrayim, they ensured that this came to an awful conclusion, such that the Zav was not kashered after all. But that doesn't in any way mean that Aaron Achayim's intentions were not pure. This is the very novel approach of the Shemesh Shmuel, a tremendous chiddush. The Shemesh Shmuel, in a different place, in fact, in a number of places, suggests a completely different mahalach, and this is really the main part of tonight's share, that which I wanted to share with you. And we'll see how he develops a theme in the most magnificent manner. A Mayon HaMisgaber. As I mentioned, he initially launches this theme in this week's parasha, in Parashas Kisisa, but he refers to it in Parashas Vayakel, and in Parashas Tzav, and in Parashas Shmini, in many, many places. Listen to the Yisoy, it's absolutely incredible. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, Aaron HaKohen was in fact bothered by the very question that we were bothered with. How can it possibly be that Klal Yisrael are coming to suggest that we serve Avodah Zarah? What happened to their lofty levels of Kedusha attained at Matan Torah, at Yitzias Mitzrayim, at Kriyas Yamsov? Where did this all go horribly wrong? The question that challenges the Rishonim suggests the Shemesh Shmuel challenged Aaron HaKohen as well. And Aaron HaKohen reached the following conclusion. This is the story of the Shemesh Shmuel. He says, Klal Yisrael's koyach is when they are unified as a single homogeneous entity. When they are not unified, when there is no achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, that's when they fall apart. Not just in the metaphoric sense, but in the spiritual sense as well. If you want to know, says the Shemesh Shmuel, how is it that the Satan managed to take grip and control over Klal Yisrael, the answer is the weakness. The chink in the armor came about through the fact that there was a lack of unity in Klal Yisrael. How did this happen? Says the Shemesh Shmuel, the unifying force of Klal Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. With Moshe Rabbeinu, they are Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu leading from the top is the unifying factor that binds all of Klal Yisrael. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, there are 600,000 individuals. He explains this, we'll get to this in a moment. So Aaron HaKohen reaches the conclusion, I know what it is that has brought about the Aveira of the Ego. Klal Yisrael, without Moshe Rabbeinu, have lost their koyach. They are no longer the Achdus. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, just like every doctor cannot possibly try to heal a patient before he diagnoses the problem, so too with Aaron HaKohen. He had to diagnose the problem before he could attempt to solve it. He had diagnosed the problem. The problem was that there was a lack of Klal Yisrael. Without their leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, who Chazal say, who is himself Shokul Keneged Shishim Ribui, he is, as it were, equitable to all 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael. He is the binding force. He is what brings them about to a master of Klal Yisrael. And without him, there is no Klal Yisrael. That was the diagnosis. The Varanakrayan, now the work is for me to bring them back together. Listen to this phenomenal chiddush of the Shemesh Shmuel. Says Aaron HaKohen, I have to solve this problem. I have to be that unifying factor in Klal Yisrael. How are we going to bring them together? So he tells them, I want everybody to suggest and donate gold towards this cause. He takes the gold and he throws it into the fire to make one solid piece of gold. This might have been initially symbolic, but the plan of action was bring Klal Yisrael back together. Have one piece of gold, which is the unifying force of Klal Yisrael. It's all of their gold as individuals. Put it into the furnace, one solid piece of gold will emerge, and Klal Yisrael's achdus will once again be restored. Let's not forget, says the Shemesh Shmuel, wasn't this Aaron HaKohen's midah? Aaron HaKohen was the Oyeh Sholem Veroideh Sholem. He was the one who brought about Sholem between Ish L'Re'ehu, the Ish L'Ishtoi. He was the master of achdus. This is his thing. So by casting the gold into the fire, Aaron HaKohen only has pure intentions in mind. This is the way he's going to be Ma'achid Klal Yisrael once again. However, as mentioned, it was the Erev Rav who unfortunately got in and interfered, and it all went south. But once again, the Shemesh Shmuel has magnificently answered the question that we began with. The question was, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Aaron HaKohen, why and how did this come about? And he says, because I threw it into the fire. How was that an excuse? How does that answer the question? The Shemesh Shmuel has explained to us exactly how it answers the question. Do you want to know, says Aaron HaKohen, how this came about? You want to know how I tried to solve the problem? By throwing it into the fire in order to unify Klal Yisrael once again. It's true, it went horribly wrong because of the interference on the part of the Erev Rav. But Aaron HaKohen was not merely recounting the events. He was explaining his involvement. I threw that zog into the fire in order to take everybody's individual gold and make it a collective gold. Because having lost Moshe Rabbeinu, they in turn lost their achdus. And Klal Yisrael without achdus is not Klal Yisrael. That's what the Shemesh Shmuel writes in our parasha, in Parashat Ki Tisa. But listen now to the way he develops this in further parashas. In Parashat Vayakel, this is quite incredible. In Parashat Vayakel, he explains that the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael is the relationship between Shabbos Kodesh and the 6 days of the week. How so? Every day of the week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There was a Sunday, there was a Monday, there was a Tuesday. On every day, a different item, a different animal, a different bird was created. But the world in totality did not yet exist. There was individual days. There was individual creation. Comes along Shabbos Kodesh, and this is what we will all say tomorrow night. Vayachulu Hashomayim Boret, Vayachulu from the word cloud. Shabbos becomes the binding agent of the 6 days that preceded. Every day is like a limb in the body. Imagine you have somebody, a guf, he has arms and he has legs, but there's one thing lacking, and that is his nefesh. He has no neshama. That can't be considered a unified guf. It's an arm, it's a leg, it's a head, it's a nose. but it's not a goof. But once you breathe life into that goof, the neshama, the nefesh, then that converts an arm and a leg into a solitary goof. Moshe Rabbeinu is the nefesh of Klal Yisrael, such as Shabbos is the nefesh, that is the binding agent of the 6 days that preceded. And that's why we say, what happens on the seventh day? Vayinofash. Vayinofash from the word nefesh. Shabbos is the nefesh. Shabbos is the day, is the culmination of the Bria, such that all the individual days and the individual items that lead up to Shabbos are no longer individual. They are now part of the grander picture, which is called Vayechulu, the world in totality. Moshe Rabbeinu's connection and his relationship with Klal Yisrael, therefore, can be compared to Shabbos and the days of the week. The Klal Yisrael without Moshe Rabbeinu are like the days of the week without Shabbos. No neshama, no nefesh. You know, when Klal Yisrael served the ego, the Medrash said an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu tried, as it were, to be melamed zechus. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all, what did you tell me in the Aseret HaDibros? And you said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the singular. You didn't say, Anochi Hashem Elokechem, in the plural. So maybe Klal Yisrael can be off the hook. Even though it's true we have a explicit prohibition against serving Avodah Zarah, but maybe the pasuk can be understood to be addressing me, Moshe Rabbeinu, only on the Ifi Hashem Elokecha. Now what does that mean? Are we to suggest that all of Matan Torah was just for Moshe Rabbeinu and not for Klal Yisrael? That seems incredulous. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, what it means is that it's true. Obviously, Matan Torah is for all of Klal Yisrael, but that's only when they have their Moshe Rabbeinu with them. In the singular, when Klal Yisrael reach a Madrega of Ke'ish Echov, the Lame Echov, they are a Klal, that's when Torah was given to them. But when are they a Klal? Only with Moshe Rabbeinu at the helm. When Moshe Rabbeinu was not with them, then suddenly they are no longer a klal. So maybe they can be excused. It was only as a klal that they received the Torah. Here's the Shemesh Shmuel in conclusion. What happens in the beginning of next week's Ezra? What are the opening words in Parashas Vayakel? Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together Klal Yisrael. Why does he gather them together? We don't find this lashon on previous occasions when Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael. Explains the Shemesh Shmuel so magnificently, because they've lost their achdus and they became disparate. They became separate individuals. So when Moshe Rabbeinu now needed by Yakel Moshe to gather them in together and once again become Klal Yisrael. And guess what? What is the mitzvah that he tells them about? Sheishes Yomim Tase Malachtecho. He teaches them all about Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the culmination. Shabbos is that unifying factor. Moshe Rabbeinu says we have to learn the lesson of the Shabbos once again. You have become disunified. There is a lack of unity. We need the mitzvah of Shabbos to bring us back together again by Yakel Moshe. And finally, if that wasn't magnificent enough, in Parashas Shmini, the Shemesh Shmuel continues and he closes the theme. And he says, when the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was eventually erected, Chazal tell us that the Mishkan was a kapara for the ego. The lashon of the medrash is, you initially brought gold for the egel, now bring gold for the mishkan. Says the Shem Yishmuel, look at Aaron HaKohen's doing. Aaron HaKohen tried to bring everybody's gold together to unify them. Was he unsuccessful? He was successful. It worked in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, that was the whole purpose of the Mishkan. Everybody gets involved. Kol ish hasheyid venu liboy. Everybody brings the gold together, the Mishkan once again becomes the unifying factor. In fact, what do we call the Heichol in the Mishkan, the Oyel? Moyed. Moyed from the word Va'ad, meeting. Klal Yisrael have once again met. Klal Yisrael have once again been brought together. And you know, we learn from Parshas Vayakhel, you can build a Mishkan every day of the week, except for Shabbos Kodesh. You know why the Mishkan is not Doicha Shabbos? Because the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring about Achdus. From Shabbos you have that Achdus anyway. That is what Shabbos is all about. So you don't push away the Shabbos to build the Mishkan. And the final point, says the Shem Yishmuel, if you remember in Parashat Shmini, when eventually the Mishkan is consecrated and the instruction comes, you should bring a korban. Which korban? Se'ir izim lechatos. Bring a goat. Why a goat? Se'ir chazal as a kapora for the selling of Yosef. Remember, vayishchatu se'ir izim. They slaughtered a goat when they stole Yosef. Bring a seir idim as a kapara. Says the Shem Yishmuel, what has the mechiras Yosef got to do with the Mishkan? But in light of everything we've explained, isn't it obvious? The mechiras Yosef was the opposite of Achdus. That's where there was disunity between the brothers. Now that you have brought the Mishkan with everybody's gold together. There was no one individual who built the Mishkan. It was a collective project on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It reunited them. This is the time once now to seek a kapara for Mechiras Yosef, which was the opposite exactly. I think this approach of the Shem Yishmuel is nothing short then of magnificent. In his first approach, he explained to us that the reason why Aaron HaKohen threw the ash into the fire was to purify it and bring out the machshava of the table. In the second approach, he explained that the reason why he threw it into the fire was to make it one. Everybody's individual, private gold should become public, communal gold. And that will bind Klal Yisrael together. The chet of the Eger was brought about when they no longer had Moshe Rabbeinu. They'd lost their nefesh. They'd lost their Shabbos Kodesh. The kapora was the Mishkan. Vayakel Moshe, Shabbos Kodesh, and finally a kapora for the Mechiras Yosef. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful approach in the Shem Yishmuel. But the lesson, I think, is overwhelmingly obvious, and this is, of course, in Yom HaDeyeinu. Because we have just come on the back of the great day of Purim. And we all know how the disaster and the tragedy of Purim came about. Haman says to Achashverosh, there is Am Echad, who are Mefuzar u'Mefoirad Bein Ha'amim. They are the Am Echad. They should be the unified nation, the Am Echad, but they're not. They are Mefuzar u'Mefoirad. They are scattered and separate, and he doesn't mean geographically. He means literally, they are no longer the Am Echad. That, therefore, says Haman, is my way to make inroads. When Klal Yisrael are unified, there is no koyach that can get the better of them, not even the Satan, as the Shem Yishmuel tells us with regard to the ego. Certainly not Haman. But if I see, says Haman, that there is a situation in which they are mefuzar u'mefoirah, They are disparate. They are no longer unified. That's a situation in which I can get the better of them. And indeed, how does Esther Amalka bring them back? She says, Leich Knois es Kol HaYehudim. Bring them all back. Knois is like Vayakel Moshe. Knois, gather them all in. Let Klal Yisrael once again become the Am Echos. And that's why the mitzvahs of Purim are all about taking care of fellow members of Klal Yisrael. Matonis le'evyoinim, mishloach monis, havasuda mishpacha mishpacha. That has always been, and that will always be, the koyach of Klal Yisrael. The unifying force of Klal Yisrael is our force, and it always comes about through the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, and here, Mordechai and Esther. The binding agents are Gedolei Yisrael. But it's only when Klal Yisrael indeed are unified. It's only when we are Ki'ish Echos B'Lev Echos, V'Yeyosu Kulom Aguzo Echos, then that's our Koyach. Our Koyach is the Koyach of the Klal. When we are no longer the Klal, then it's disaster. The Satan gets in and the Egel occurs. Haman gets in and it's almost a tragedy. V'yosu kulom, agudo echos. It would be zeicha be'ezet Hashem to learn the lesson of Purim, to learn the lesson of the Egel, to learn the lesson of the Mishkan, and indeed zeicha to be ke'ish echos, b'leid echos. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.